I'd like to continue with that passage in John for a moment that Sarah shared with our little ones. And it goes on to say, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he then breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed." Jesus did many other miracles. He says, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Amen. I guess some of you thought I would get up and talk about Duke today, and there's really nothing you can do to make me do that. I just think the truth speaks for itself, and I'm not even going to bring it up. We are people of Easter, and Easter is not a day, if you please, just a day for us. Easter is a season, and we celebrate Easter, of course, every week when we celebrate the resurrection, right? And so today, as we continue through that, I wanted to talk and continue to talk about the resurrection. Next week, Lord willing, I'll be starting a series on the Beatitudes, and I think that's appropriate during this season, preparing us, Jesus did, to live during his absence a certain life. And I think that's going to be very helpful for us to read through and to study and to learn. Well, what does the resurrection mean, and are there evidences for the resurrection that we need to talk about? Well, certainly, I mentioned a few last week, but there's no greater proof of the resurrection than the fact that these people in this room were people who ran from the cross and then were supernaturally empowered by the resurrection to the extent that they would be willing to die for their faith, and they did die for their faith. Well, the resurrection also proves and shows us that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He said, "I am the resurrection, I am life. And if you believe in me, you'll never perish." And of course, we see that in John 11. And then the resurrection proves that Jesus has the power he claimed to have. You know, Jesus said, "Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down, I can raise it up again." And the resurrection demonstrates that he has the power that he claimed to be. One of the things that's so important for us to understand about the Gospel of John is that throughout the Gospel of John, we did the seven I Am's, but there are also miracles that attest to that in the Gospel of John. And it's important for us to understand that Jesus in the Gospels demonstrates he is God, and he does this by demonstrating he has power over nature. He stilled the storm. He has power over the dark world or the demons because he cast out demons. He has power over death because he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he has power over matter because he fed the multitude. You follow me? And so the Gospels are very clearly laid out to demonstrate that Jesus is God. For those who doubted that in that day, of course, and we know that we also see that many followed him because of the miracles, which is not unlike our religion of today. We see people that flock to churches often because they want to improve their jobs. There are some who do that. There are people that have all kinds of motives for going to church that aren't necessarily good. I've seen it for a career. But they're still in church, and we can be thankful for that, right? I think that's a good word. And I want to suppose also, let me just offer this if I might, that someone might go to church for all the wrong reasons and still find out who Jesus Christ is when they're there. Isn't that a good word? You ever done anything for the wrong reasons and it turned out well? No, not you. It's important for us to understand that God is in charge of the circumstances around us as well, and He can use those things which we would decry as being negative in a positive way. Happens all the time. So the resurrection proves that Jesus has the power He claimed to have. It also proves that He does what He promises. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised. And He did what He said He was going to do. And I would suppose one of the great values, if you please, of the Old Testament, many, many values, right? But one of the great values of the Old Testament is we learn by the history and the stories about how great God is. You know, we say, can you imagine standing there at the Red Sea? How many of us have ever said, you don't have to raise your hand on this because I do not want to know. How many of us have ever said, how could they be filled with doubt back in that day? Didn't they see the things God did? Didn't they see the cloud and the fire? Didn't they see the Red Sea part? Didn't they see God feed them with manna from heaven? Didn't they see Elijah win the battle with the gods of Baal? How could they be so short-minded when all of a sudden they have all that, and somehow we think that excuses us for our doubts because they had all that and we didn't? But in fact, we have the resurrection, which is the greatest miracle of all. It's important for us to understand that contextually, that the Bible teaches us and Jesus says, yeah, I do what I promise. Mark says, they will mock me, they will spit on me, they will flog me with whips, they will kill me, but after 3 days I'll come back to life again. Wow, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And then, you know, of course, there's so many theories behind those who doubt. But let me paint a picture for you of the tomb, if I might. The tomb was as a cave, and if you can imagine, there's a stone in front of this cave that's probably this wide, a big like a wagon wheel. It's probably this wide and possibly this tall. It might have weighed over a ton. And they roll that thing down a little incline and drop it in a little hole right in front of the door so that you can't just roll it out. Can you imagine how many people it would have taken to pick that puppy up and to set it aside? And of course, one of the things that attests to the reality of the resurrection is there's nowhere recorded in history, nowhere recorded in history about a bunch of Roman soldiers being put to death for dereliction of duty. You see that? Why is that? Because the body wasn't stolen. They did their duty. And had the body been stolen, as some had thought, and even today, if you, as I said before, go on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic Channel, you'll find out all kinds of theories about all this, and one of them is that somebody came and stole the body. If that had been the case, somewhere in first century history, and we have hundreds of first century sources, someone would have written about Roman guards being put to death for their derelict. It didn't happen. Well, it also, the resurrection offers us peace. I've had many people say to me, I don't know how you do what you do. I couldn't do what you do. And my response on the inside is, I couldn't do what you do, but I wouldn't say that. I mean, I admire people who live in this world and do the things that they do. I mean, Kevin, I don't want to call you out here, brother, but law enforcement, to me, when we see the horrific things that we see on TV recently, inexcusable things, my heart breaks for you as well. The same way my heart breaks when I hear of a minister who falls. And, you know, we live in a culture where we tend to categorize people. If someone does something bad, then everybody in that category is bad, and that we know that's not the case. And what happened in South Carolina is one of the most inexcusable things I've ever seen. okay? But it's important for us to understand, I mean, Kevin, you're out there on the front lines for me. This community is safer because you're out there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what you do. And I can go, I don't mean, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you. Not really, am I supposed to say that? I couldn't do, Johnny, what you do, or Doc, what you do. I can't even imagine that. There's so many, Jeb, I can't imagine. You have to deal with patients like me. I can't, God bless you, my friend. But one of the things that happens for me when I do a funeral, and that's often where this ends up going, you know what it does for me? First of all, it breaks my heart, continues to make me human, which I need a big dose of. But I rejoice in the promises of Jesus because that's the resurrection is so true and so promised for us. And if Jesus kept his promises during that day, we are assured that his promises about the resurrection are true as well. And that's how you do, that's how we do the things we do. Well, that sounds like an old movie, How You Do the Things You Do. Well, why does the resurrection matter? Well, I have four things today I'd like to touch on. First of all, it matters because my past can be forgiven. Colossians says, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against me and against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Now, let me offer what this written code is. Back in the day, in the Roman world, in the Greek world, if you went to jail, okay, if you went to jail, right outside your cell where you were, there'd be a plaque there. And on that placard would have the charges that were against you. Okay? So when you walk, and it wasn't like today. I mean, if I've been to Philippi, and if you go there and look, the jail is not where you want to be. But if you were walking around checking out the jail cells, which you could have done at Philippi, it was not secluded like we think. I mean, you actually could walk right up to the cell because you actually, if you had a family member in the jail, you took care of them or they didn't get fed. It's not unlike that in some places today. But the charges against you were nailed there right beside you in order for you to see why that person was in jail. Does that change the significance of why they put King of the Jews over Jesus' head on the cross? That was the accusation. That was the written indictment they had. He's King of the Jews. He says he is. And so when he talks here about canceling the written code, here's what I think that Paul is saying. You see, every violation that you and I have committed, every sin that we've committed, are the charges that God would have against us. Every single one of them. Now read the verse with me again. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he did what? He took it away, nailing it to the cross. The charges against you were placed on the cross. Wow. That is so significant to our who we are as Christians. Therefore, now one of the things I want to talk about briefly here, we know the struggles that we all face, right? They're not new to you and they're not new to me. Romans 7 outlines those very clearly for us. In Romans 7, Paul cries out for mercy, recognizing, he says, I find myself continually doing the things I don't want to do. And I find myself not doing the things I should do. Now, whoa, that's mighty close, isn't it? Any of you there too? I'm there. And Romans 7 outlines the, if you will, a situation that feels hopeless in our struggle. I am going to do the wrong thing. I've said to you, I've said before, I only open my mouth to change feet. I mean, I have a gift of that. Anybody else have that gift? I said that a few weeks ago, and I had eight people coming to me and said, man, I thought I was the only one that had that gift. Well, look at Romans 8:1, which is up here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. the basis of your condemnation, the basis of my condemnation, has been taken care of in the cross. Amazing, isn't it? Wow. Secondly, what does the resurrection matter? Why does it matter? My past can be forgiven. You remember when Peter took his eyes off the Lord and started to sink when he was walking on water? Peter's crying out, "Lord, help my faith." I'd like to propose this to any of us today who may are feeling a sense of guilt about the past. I would offer that, one, if there's anything you can do to improve the past, go do it. If there's something that you did you can undo without causing further harm, to use the AA model, go do it. That's basic. Go fix it. Confess it to the person or whatever you need to do, as long as it doesn't cause further harm. Okay? What I would like to offer then is this. Who in the world, pardon me for being so something here, I'm not sure how this is going to come across. Who in the world are you? Who in the world am I to disagree with what God says about the past? You with me on that? God says you're forgiven. Who am I to say I'm not? I hope that makes some sense. Well, the second point I want to make about this resurrection is that my present problems can be managed. Ephesians says, "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him." When we are sinking, God doesn't throw us an anchor. He throws us a life preserver. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. Whatever you're facing today, with God's help, you're going to be fine. I don't know what else to say to that. Whatever you're facing, whether it's health, whether it's family issues, whether it's whatever it is, with God's help, you'll be fine. How many of us have experienced that in the day-to-day where we're kind of bouncing through life in the day-to-day? We're consumed with something that's troubling us. We pick up a book and we read a verse or out of the Bible or something in a book, or a friend comes up to us, offers us a word of encouragement. Whoa, you think that just happened? Or do you believe that there are God winks, if you please, that keep us moving forward? I had a God wink this week. I hope you'll bear with me when I share this. Had coffee with a person that I've known for a long time. She just showed up. Got on Facebook and said, "Can you meet me for coffee?" I said, "Sure." Went over to the front porch and had coffee. And she said, "You'll never know how God used you in my life." Wow. I was completely oblivious to that. I mean, and come to find out, she has 50 to 75 of these little goofy outlines I use. She has them up all over her house, and she gives them to people and reads them and keeps her going. Wow, I guess I'll keep doing it another week or two. Well, the third point I want to make today is the resurrection matters because my future is secure. Now, John 17 says, "This is eternal life, that you may know that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." 1 Peter says, "All honor to God, the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privileges of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family." Now we live in the hope of eternal life because Christ, what? Rose from the dead. And it's interesting that the word hope there doesn't mean maybe at all. Our hope is secure. Let me tell you a story about something that's very emotional to me. When I was about 7 years old, a little kid, if you can believe it, I was little. I worked with my dad one Saturday morning. He was doing a project, okay? And that project was pretty big for a kid. I mean, believe it or not, in sixth grade, I was the puny one in the classroom. I determined I wanted to be bigger than those guys that were bullies. I'm so glad I drank coffee because my grandmother said it would stunt my growth. And I'm glad I started drinking it at 4 years old. Anyway, I was holding a wrench for my dad, and the wrench slipped, and he barked his knuckles and threw a wrench across this warehouse and screaming at me. Now, I was a kid, right? That scene had been in my head for years. About 6 months ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, we were unbuilding what we had built in that warehouse, taking it apart. And my dad sat down in the dream and looked at me and he said, "Son, you didn't deserve to be treated that way." And I woke up grinning from ear to ear. You see, God gives us what we need when we need it. My future can be secured. Now, one of the things I want to point out about 1 Peter that we don't want to blow by, it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of whose family? So that the very God that we talked about last week, that I mentioned earlier, that if you went into the temple or the tabernacle in an unworthy way, they had to haul you out because you'd be struck down. That same God, the very same God. Now he says to Donald, "Call me Papa." Being in the family of God. What a privilege to be a member of that family. And one day, friends, there'll be a family reunion that will be amazing. Lastly, my doubts can be turned to delight. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." We live in a world filled with all kinds of doubts. We're told to love our enemies, and we see 100 Christians put to death. Please go to the webpage, The Voice of the Martyrs, and begin to understand what's going on in our world. Do you know, you ready for this statistic? Do you know in the last 100 years, now, how many of you have ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs or part of it? You ever seen that from the first? I read this week in a source that I believe is to be true that in the last 100 years, more Christians have been put to death for their faith than in the preceding 1900 years. Wow. Stunning, is it not? Stunning. We live in a world filled with all kinds of doubt. And Jesus said one thing we need to remember, in this world you will have trouble. But lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. The resurrection of Jesus Christ offers to us that assurance that our doubts can be turned to delight. Heavenly Father, we praise your name that we can be a part of your family. We're so thankful that the resurrection can guarantee that our past is forgiven, that whatever we face today can be managed, that our future is secure and our doubts can be turned to delight. Help us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.